10 feet away from me.
Since y'all are doing so good and spaced apart, I can get down among you and I start to say spit and preach. Amen. All right, Hebrews chapter 11 tonight. I'm going to try not to preach a long sermon this evening. Had some folks looking at their watch this morning. I'm sorry to take up your time. But as long as people spend 2 hours at the movies, I'm not going to worry about sermon length too much. Amen. I never have worried about that. I've worried about a lot of things in my life, but that's never been one of them. You say, well, Brother Mike, you're long-winded and boring, but I have such a good time. Amen. Amen. Well, when you're a little guy, you can't inflict too much damage on people, but you can hold them too long and say stuff that doesn't really matter to them. But anyway, it's in the Bible, so that tells a tale all its own. Amen. Somebody had to think about that one for just a minute, but maybe that'll hit you on the way home. Amen. I would hate to realize at the, I don't believe I have much time left, even if I got 80 years. That's still not a lot of time left. I mean, looking back on 50 gone, and if you might live to 70 or 80, boy, that's time to step up the game. But I would hate to live 50 or 60 or 70 years and find out I went through my life claiming to be saved, rushed down to the church house, rush out, get home, then spend all week not in a hurry about anything except for maybe getting out of work. Amen. I mean, church is nothing like going to work. Amen. I will admit to you, I've preached some boring sermons. I know that because I check up on them every once in a while, but I've heard some, but still, I mean, even hearing boring sermons, they're still right and good. I've even heard preachers preach something where 80% of the message was incorrect, but he said something along the way that was good. Amen. Try to get something out of that because that's the purpose I come to church for. Amen. I try not to come to church to critique nobody. You have to critique things as you hear them. It's called critical thinking. You know, if you said Abraham built an ark, I'm not going to say amen about that, even if I think I know what you're trying to say. Amen. That's just my way of doing things. I don't mean to be, you know, uppity up about being right or correct, but Lester Roloff said a preacher can't afford to be wrong. He can't afford to be wrong about anything, but I have heard some, you know, some boring stuff, but even boring stuff is true. You know, how many of you have read your Old Testament? Man, that Chronicle stuff is for the birds. I don't like it at all. But they're still there. There's still stuff. Brother Mike, when I read that, I just skip over those words. Well, maybe when the Lord goes to call the roll, he'll skip over the list of names. What's got your name in it? How about that, amen? Now, how would you like to be Ashma Dabna Hoosie and your only claim to fame was God put your name in 1 Chronicles and you skipped over it? That's not inclusive. That's not tolerant. Amen. Preacher, you're not supposed to fuss at us for missing 5 Sundays in a row, but you fuss at me for preaching 5 minutes extra. Well, you don't fuss. You ain't got the guts to say it out loud, but that's just the way that it is. That's just the way that it is. Amen. This is going to be a very sweet message, so I'm trying to offend somebody in the opening monologue just so we don't break no records or anything. You'd be surprised what a fella hears over the course. I don't think I'm saying nothing out of the ordinary. I've been hearing this stuff since I was 5 years old. It's you that's been messing around with these charismatic preachers and Calvinist preachers and socialist preachers, so you have to make the best of it. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Isn't it wonderful to be here this evening? I'm having a good time. Amen. Hebrews chapter number 11, I want to preach to you about faith. I think if faith is so important in the Bible, we ought to know what it is, and I believe we can know what it is, and I don't believe that a lot of people does know exactly what faith is. Faith is a word that's kind of a misty, kind of a mysterious word where people say, yeah, I've got faith, and on Facebook they make out like faith is, you know, there's a hurricane coming tonight, and I got faith that, you know, well, God didn't tell you he was going to make you miss every hurricane. And, you know, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You can have faith. You can have faith in what God tells you. And I'm not sure you can have very much faith in any other thing besides that. Preacher can tell you it's going to be all right, and you might can be encouraged by that. And God would never leave you nor forsake you. But that doesn't mean he's going to make the tornado skip your house. He might. But he will never leave you and never forsake you. He'll be there with you. Amen. And so I believe that kind of stuff. And I believe sometimes folks add a little bit of magic to faith. The faith is not magic. And when people talk about faith, oftentimes they say, well, you need to just have blind faith and just that no such thing as blind faith. No such thing as blind faith. You Christians, you got this blind faith in this God you never seen. It's not blind faith at all. It's not blind faith at all. The Lord has fully informed us. I believe that we've been fully informed. I believe God give us a word that's complete. It's inerrant. I believe it's been properly interpreted, and I did not say translated. The only thing translated in the Bible are people. Amen. The next time you get in an argument with these King James Bible correctors, you take them over to the book of Daniel. And I don't know what the average is, but I bet if you averaged it out just for the interpretation that Daniel gave when he translated and interpreted the writing on the wall, there's probably 7 or 8 words to one word. Many, many tekel upharsin. And you find the interpretation of that. It's exactly what God said. And it's probably 15 or 20, maybe even 25 or 30 words more than the original. Because God interprets. When God says something, when Jesus says something to his disciples, he says, which is interpreted, not translated. A word-for-word translation from one language to another would leave you with an incomprehensible mess. But again, you let socialist Bible schools talk you into an argument about Bible translations where you've been arguing back and forth and back and forth over something that's irrelevant. Translation is irrelevant. Irrelevant. Amen? But the interpretation is the thing. The Bible says that the scripture is of no private interpretation. And I believe that God has given us a complete listing, a complete record of what he wants us to know. Amen. How he wants us to live. How he wants us to pray. When he wants us to pray. When he wants us to go to church, which, by the way, is more and more as you see the day approaching. Right. We've got churches that are deserting Wednesday night service, deserting Sunday night service. Well, it's just not popular anymore. We'll add a Thursday night service. That's the answer. The answer is not to give way. The answer is to take ground back. So, well, there'll be fewer of us. Okay. Ask Gideon if that matters. But I'm using Bible examples, and I don't want to throw nothing too hard on you. But that's what happens in the Bible. You take fewer people and go into harder battles. You say, how do you do that? By faith. By faith. Not blind faith. As far as faith is concerned, I saw Moses handle Pharaoh. I saw Gideon handle the enemies of God. I saw David do that. You say, why? It's evidence. That's what it says right here. Chapter 11, verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Lord, I do thank you for your goodness and for your grace this evening. Pray you'd help us, lead us, guide us, instruct us, God. I pray that you would inspire us. Give us the understanding of what it is you want us to do, what it is you want us to say. Well, I like what the fellow said, God, he tries to tell somebody about the Lord every day and pass out tracts. I pray, God, you'd help us to do this. I pray you'd help us to follow that example. And I pray, God, that you'd help us to do it with faith. Lord, many of us come short in these areas, and I pray you'd help us with that. Lord, strengthen us by your word. Lord, you said that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word. We do need the faith. And like James said, Lord, we do need the works to go along with faith, not in the instance of salvation, because your sacrifice, your work took care of that in that case. But Lord, we say we have faith, but we put no effort. My old pastor, preacher like you used to say, put legs on your prayers. And Lord, we need to make prayers and then follow through with some action and do some things. And then, Lord, we see what all great and mighty things you do. Lord, you called us to be used. And I pray you would use us and help us. We thank you for your many blessings. We thank you, God, that we're not dead. And Lord, we deserve that. The wages of sin is death. And I thank you, God, for the ability to live, for the ability to breathe, for the ability to move. And I thank you for that, Lord. It's not just a privilege to live, but it's a great blessing, a great honor. I pray you'd help us, God, to be honorable men and honorable women. Help us to look at one another just like that as Christian brothers and sisters. And we'll thank you, God, for all that you do. In Jesus Christ's name, we pray these things. Amen. Amen. All right. Now let's look here in verse 1 again. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it, the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. How do we understand that? Because God told us. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. If you believe God's word, you look back at Genesis, and the Bible tells us that the worlds were framed by the word of God. God spoke it into existence, and it came into existence. Anything beyond that, you don't need to know, and the reason I know that is because God didn't tell you anything beyond that. He said in the beginning was the Word. His specific purpose at that time was to speak and create everything. Well, did he use stuff that was there? Who cares? That's not what we're here to discuss. The fact of the matter is God built it right at the start. He made it. He created it. I don't care what language you use, he gets the credit for it. He done it. He spoke it. Listen, if the Lord can build a planet and a moon and a sun, and he made the stars also, if the Lord could do that just with his words, then what in the world could he do in your life just with his words? Just with his words. We struggle. We reach. We sometimes wring our hands and wring our minds out trying to figure out how we're going to get stuff done, when actually we could trust in the same God who can speak and the dead get up from the ground. Hey, Lazarus, get out of there, buddy. You say, what's that? I believe that's a correct interpretation. Amen. That's what he said. That's what he did. Lazarus got up. Well, I don't know how I'm going to handle this thing down at work. I don't know how this is going to work out. I don't know what's going on, but God knows. I couldn't go back to that subject enough. God knows. God knows. And all God has to do is speak. And I don't know about you, but I think it'd be a good advice for you to get on God's side and be God's friend. Don't you think you've been mad long enough? What has mad got you? Nothing. Don't you think you've been bitter long enough? What has bitter got you? Nothing. Nothing. Amen. Nothing. Yeah. Nothing. When you wake up tomorrow, you know what it's going to get you tomorrow? Nothing. Amen. Just a little bit madder. Amen. Just a little bit more bitter. Amen. Amen. Go to church and, well, go ahead and complain about it. I don't know what to tell you. Got to go to church and they yell at us, and I wish they'd encourage us sometime. I tell you what, it'd encourage you real good. Get down on your face, say, Lord, forgive me for this stuff. Help me with this stuff. Then you might get up off your knees and say, boy, I sure am a scoundrel, and God bless you right good. You keep thinking you're a good guy, and you're not. God's the good God. God's the good guy. God is the good guy. You're the bad guy. You're the one that put him on the cross. I don't believe that if you were the only one, he would have died for you. But I do know this. He is the only one that could die for you. I believe that. Amen. Amen. You don't believe that, and I can't help you, but that's what the Bible says, and I believe it. Sometimes I look at myself in the mirror, and I think, you are a scoundrel. You don't think of that. You don't think that way because you're twice the scoundrel. Amen. That's right. You don't look at yourself. I don't know about you, but sometimes I look down at these arms and this hand and think about my own mind and my own. You are a scoundrel, a skinny, little, insignificant speck. That's sound reasoning. Oh, don't you get depressed that way? No, that's the way I get rid of depression. Amen? You say, why? Because the way up is down. Amen? The true way to get high is to humble yourself. Get on your knees and say, I'm sorry. You know what the problem is with some of you? You've King James'd it for so long, and you've suit and tied it for so long, and you've did this perfect thing and that perfect thing, done it just this way for so long, that you think you're a righteous, holy, wonderful, God's gift to the church, and you're nothing but a nothing. And it's just been too long since somebody told you that. If you get down on the altar and say, God, I'm nothing, and you're everything, because that's what the Bible says. Boy, you wake up with renewed, oh, the preacher ain't so bad after all, is he? Well, he's pretty bad, but I think I'll have mercy on him. I think I'll pray for him this week. All these bad preachers around here because ain't nobody praying for him. Oh, preacher, I know probably people praying, but that's just a little encouragement. You want better preaching? Do better praying. You say, where'd you get that? From the Bible. The Bible says, my expectation of the Lord. You quit coming to church expecting something from me or expecting something from Pastor Ryman and expecting something from God. I bet you could make a mountain out of a molehill. The molehill being the sermon. The mountain being something you get from God, from expecting something from God. Come to church. I bet he's going to say the word stupid again. Yeah, God told me to say it because it bothers you so much. It with a smile. What else? You want me to come down there and kiss you? Absolutely not. Can't be kissing on folks. COVID gets you. Yeah. Amen. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's substance. That's what substance is. That right there. It's wood. If it didn't have no substance, I could pass through it like Casper the Friendly Ghost. Talk about stuff, people. People upset about how long you preach. I bet if I preached about ghosts or demons, yeah, or did a seminar on something crazy like that, people be, could you go 15 or 20 more minutes, brother? Could you do that? That's true. Amen. Mm-hmm. Get up and talk about gangsters and shootouts and stuff. Oh, that's wonderful, man. Substance. It's something real. Faith is the substance. It's not blind faith. I don't have blind faith that God's coming back. I don't have blind faith that I'm going to heaven when I die. There's substance to it. There's something real. It's just as real as looking at this platform right here. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. The evidence. Evidence. Faith is evidence of things hoped for. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You know what hope is? It's not a wish. Hope is not a wish. Hope is an expectation of something that is possible and probable. A wish is like, I wish I had $1 million. Well, you better put some works with that wish. Amen, because it ain't going to just fall in your lap. There's probably a few card scratchers. I'm not talking about scratching fleas. Yeah, I'm talking about, give me $2 more. I wonder where they get the money to give away on these things anyway. You know how much money has to be lost for you to win $1 million? Mm. Amen. That must have come down from the heavens right there. Amen. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. We're not wishing. We're hoping for some things because the Bible tells us, I preached you a sermon a couple weeks ago about the blessed hope. You know why it's a blessed hope? That Jesus is going to return someday because Jesus said, I'm coming back. He told us that in his word. He promised us that in his word. Now, I've got even more, what's even better than that is I've got more than a hope that I'm going to heaven. I know I'm going to heaven because I know I'm going to die. Because I know this flesh. In my flesh, there's no good thing. But the Lord said that one day he's going to take this vile body. Some of you ain't got no vile body. Some of you arrived already. You've already made it. So I don't know what's going to happen to you. I guess you have to go to hell. But the Lord's going to take our vile body and make it like unto his glorious body. Amen. You believe that by blind faith? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. I believe it like 2 + 2 = 4. You know those are nothing but words. You say they're numbers. Well, you have to say a word to get the point across. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word. Okay, 2 + 2 = 4. You know what 4 is? Faith. Anybody here see heaven? You don't see no 4 either. Now you got two little dollar bills, and I say 2 + 2 = 4. You say, well, yay, that's right, that's true. Okay, you can go to heaven. Jesus died on the cross for your sins. That's 2. You need to be saved. That's 2. Get saved. That's how easy that is. You don't get saved by words. You get saved because God said, you're a sinner, and I died on the cross for your sins. If you'll trust me, I'll save you, and that's all there is to it. That's faith. Well, how do you know that? Because God said it. The same God that said, let there be a sun and a moon and the stars and all that stuff, and it's there. You're not going to argue with that. The heavens declare his handiwork. Go out there and look for yourself. It's out there. Well, are we really there? And is it really round? You're asking the dumb questions. Those are the dumb questions. Start asking the smart questions. The smart questions is, it's here. Where'd it come from? God said, I did it. The scientist said it got thrown out of nothing and spun around until, let me see, nothing, throwed something out. It spun around and then got real hot. There was no friction in nothing, so I don't see how any friction, I mean, no friction, no heat. No, I'm not going to go that route. God said he made it, and it's here. You got a better explanation? Well, I'm not sure. Well, go on to hell then. I don't want you to. Somebody's going to leave and say, Brother Mike told people to go to hell, and he don't care. That's ridiculous. But what I'm telling you is, God said that he made it. I believe that. Amen. You don't have to go. You don't have to go. But we know this beyond a shadow of a doubt. Everybody who don't want to go is a rebel. A lot of people who do want to go are rebels. Amen? Why is the people that don't want to go, why are they so rebellious? Why are they so mean? The people who don't want to go, why do they keep stealing your morality? That thou shalt not kill thing, that's a Christian thing. That's a godly thing. Amen? Well, I mean, if you're an atheist, quit using our morality. Go get your own morality. And they are. They're quickly making up their own morality. You can commit adultery, which we talked about this morning. I don't know why it got so steamy in here after talking about that. Somebody needs to get their life corrected or something. At any rate, not sorry. But I don't... You get this world, they're going to throw out the adultery, they're going to throw out the homosexuality, they're going to throw out all this stuff, and the big sin is going to be, you know, hurting the planet, which I kind of agree with that. I want to go catfishing. I don't want to drink your mercury or eat your mercury out of the water. I'm in somewhat of agreement with that, but keeping clean rivers ain't going to save you from the wrath to come. They're replacing. You got to be, listen, it doesn't matter that you're homosexual or that you're doing all these terrible, wicked, ungodly things, but, you know, be nice to one another, because that's the thing that really matters in the day and age that we live in. It's new morality. The only thing is, there's nothing to it. The guy making the rules that says you've got to be nice to one another is skimming money off the top and going to the Caribbean while you and your mask are locked up in New York City. I don't know a lot of things, but I know this. While God's up in heaven telling us to do right and act right and walk right and do all these things, he's up in heaven doing right. Amen. Never lied to us once. His word never been wrong one time. Show me. Amen. So faith cometh by hearing. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. You got yourself two little dollar bills. Hey, if you get two more, you'll have $4. If you're talking about salvation, simple as that. Now, if you're talking about the book of James, hey, Brother Joe, I've got faith that the bus ministry works. Amen? You say, how do you know? Because a little white-haired lady. Knocked on my door. Picked us up in the church van. Brought us to church. Mom and daddy followed along. Got saved. Started working on the bus. We'd go pick them up. Just like they picked us up, we go pick them up, come bring them to church, folks get saved. I know it works. I know it works. You can say, yes, Brother Mike, I believe it does too. But faith without works is dead. They're not going to come down here and get on the bus. Of course, that'd be kind of silly, because if they come down here, they'd be here. But what I'm talking about is, you can't fill up a bus without going out and knocking on the door. I've got faith that the gospel message works, but that faith without works is dead. How are they going to hear? Romans chapter 10, verse 14 answers that question. How are they going to hear without a preacher? I know that preaching the gospel works, even on hard heads. Amen. Amen. I've been hard headed. Hadn't you? Resisted the truth. Hadn't you? The Bible said we resist the Holy Ghost. Haven't you? But then the word just kept coming. Oh, that's right. Oh, man. But I still want to do it. I don't guess any of y'all went that route, but when the Lord knocks on my door and says, you better quit that, I oftentimes say, I don't want to. The flesh is weak, whether you know it or not. But our long-suffering Lord keeps coming back and knocking at the door. Hey, boy, when you submit yourself and repent and call on the Lord to help you, and the Lord begins to change your heart and change your mind, pretty soon you end up loving things you used to hate. Oh, man, it's long preaching. I can't stand it. Well, next thing you know, hey, preacher, can you go about 15 more minutes? I like it. Well, this guy over here is bored. Well, let him be the one put out. Who would you rather be put out, the guy who likes the preaching or the guy who don't like the preaching? Whose side are you on? We'll vote on that. That's right. We'll use them, I'll forget the name of them. But anyway, there's a election box we can use to rig it our own way out there somewhere. But at any rate, you know which side to get. When it comes to getting out early and going to eat, I pretty much think I've got figured out which way the Baptist is going to vote. Amen? 2 + 2 = 4. You say, it can't be that simple, Brother Mike. Well, what is it then? What is faith then? Something you made up? The Word of God plus whatever you're dealing with has to come out to something, and God's already told you what it is time and time again. Amen? I believe that number 4 is faith, because it's the sum total of everything that's known. We know we got 2. We know if we get 2 more, we'll have 4. God's done that in every part of your life. Amen. God said he could take the fear that you live under. I'm not talking about fear of him. I'm talking about the fear of this world and the fear of this life and the things that are involved in this life, the fear of death, the fear of man, all of that stuff. The Lord said he could take that and put it aside and give you a sound mind. You don't believe that? I mean, you got God's word on that. And you add your faith in that. You take God at his word in regards to that and see if some of those doubts and fears don't disappear. I don't have to guess about it. I've seen it. I know it. I believe it with all my heart. I believe God has the answers for each and every one of you. I believe this, that any person in this building that's born again can go home and invest his time or invest her time in God's word and get down on your face and pray and seek direction from God. And God will meet every one of your needs without having to have counseling from the pastor. I believe that. God put a pastor in place so that he could be a help, so that he could be a minister, so that he could be a guiding influence. But you have the same ability to go to God. If you got the ability to read, pray and ask God for direction, get in God's word and get the direction that you need. Every single one of you. Every, say, well, Brother Mike, what, I'm 12 years old. What about me? What about you? What about you? I believe it with all my heart. Well, Brother Mike, you know those kids are kind of immature. Well, God didn't turn his back on you for that. We as Christians need to, I understand there's a difference between adults and kids, but we need to get to the place where we realize that we are sinners saved by grace and that a God that's able to create people is able to deal with their teenagers. What I was telling my wife today, I believe the Bible, and I trust in the training. Me and my wife were talking about some things. I told you a story about, you know, going to the mall and Reese saying, you know, don't look at that, which was right. There's a place in the mall you should probably avoid if you've got serious problems. Well, I'm going to avoid them anyway. I mean, there's nothing in there for me. God, please help me. Don't want to go. Some avenues I don't want to travel far down. Amen? Amen. But here's the thing. I trust the training. God said if I would train my child in the way he should go, he won't depart from it. Listen, I don't want to train my kid. I don't want to train my kid that there's something wrong with a woman. No, sir. There's something wrong with people. There's something wrong with the flesh. I want to train him that modesty is right so that he has a problem with immodesty. He don't have a problem with women and that he don't look at women like all she's good for. See how much can be said without saying everything? That's a good lesson and sermon in and of itself. But I believe that. I trust in it. I trust in it, Brother Heath. I trust the training process that God has given us to teach. Listen, God gave you rules. Exodus chapter 20. You can find all the rules that you want. And God gave men rules to bring him to Christ and make him understand that you are not rules keepers. You're not rules keepers. You are rule breakers. And that's why you see these great big popular preachers that hammer it, hammer it, hammer it. Oh, boy, I tell you what, you children better stay 6 inches apart or you'll end up. And they're the ones that end up. I don't know why that is. I don't know how that is. I don't know if there's a problem before. I don't know if there's a problem after. I don't know this. I'll tell you what's better than putting a 6-inch rule between a boy and girl. Is putting a 6-inch rule between that boy and immodesty. Convince him. Convince her that modesty is right. How do you know modesty is right? Because God told me. I believe that. I believe if I can instill modesty in my boy, that he'll grow up to be a better man than he would if I convinced him that girls are bad. You say, why? Because that's the Bible. It's the Bible. Now that I've said all that, no dancing. I mean, we're not going to have no church dance. I'm not trying to allow anything. I'm not preaching stuff like this to allow things. I'm trying to get your mind turned around to where you're not living a life. You're not living under the law, but you're living by faith. Living by faith. Now the just shall live by faith. And I trust it because it's the only thing in this world I've got. It's the only thing in this world I've got. And if only people were not creatures of habit, but we are, and we're easily influenced. Brother Allen says this about motorcycle riders, and it's absolutely true. Guy gets a motorcycle, next thing you know, I mean, before he got the motorcycle, he's a nerd. And he's dressed like me, and he walks around, you know, he's nerdy. And he buys a motorcycle, and all of a sudden he's got leather boots and leather pants and leather jacket with, you know, Sons of God written across the back of it. What you looking at? Is that true or not? Mm-hmm. Guy buys him a 9mm pistol. Next week he's got full military gear. Fully invested. Idiot. Fully invested. That's watch TV. It's all about whatever it's all about. You know what it's all about. Turn on the music. If you wasn't so weak, you could probably listen to more music than you listen to. I know I'll catch flack for that. I know I will. But it's that same guy that'll disagree with me that watches TV. Listen, let me ask you a question. How did we get to the place where watching TV is okay and listening to music is bad? Now, if you use this to justify listening to the honky-tonk all week, that is your problem. That is not my problem. I'm going to do my best to not say anything to give you a license to do this, that, or the other. But you've got a medium that shows you a picture and gives you audio. That's okay. Then you've got a medium that just has audio. That's bad. We should never. It's because you're an idiot. You're welcome. You know what the problem with music is? What I was talking about this morning. You don't have enough patience to think about what you're doing. Pretty soon you're being run by that junk. You listen to music one day. You'll be walking around like, well, it depends on what, if you're listening to country music, you'll be walking around like this. I think I'm going to kill myself. If you listen to rap music, you'll be walking around like, you got a problem, man, you got a problem. You got a problem, huh? You're about to get... You're about to get punched in the nose. I started to give you the old, but I don't want no water. That's an inside joke. Ask Brother Ken what it means. You're a person. You invest so much. It's popular, so we're going to do it. And you think it's popular because that's what everybody's listening to. And you know, homes are breaking up. Kids are being turned over to drugs. Kids are being turned into a marital lifestyle, as far as I'm going to go with that. Children are living a marital lifestyle before they're married when they're 12 and 13 and 14 years old. Little babies having babies and stuff. It's because they get in the music and they listen to the music and they believe the music and they invest their faith in the music, which music has no ability to produce faith. Amen. But they've got a false faith. If I just do this, I'll be accepted. I'll be popular. And it affects your attitude. You go home and start listening to rock music, it'll affect you tomorrow. Somebody been preaching the Word of God to you for 6 weeks and you ain't budged yet. Oh, I don't believe that. I don't know about that. I don't think that's right. Well, are you the measure of all things? This not something we invented last week. This book been preached for thousands of years. Been found to be true forever. I'm going to put my faith right here. I'm going to stay away from the music, and I'm going to stay. And listen, if I watch TV, I'm arguing with it. I'm not sitting there in a trance. Why are all these people, there's some people that are giving in and just giving themselves over to whatever comes across the television. But all these people that are standing up and saying that ain't right and that ain't true and this ain't the way it ought to be done, they're not bigots. They're not trying to hurt people. They're just trying to let you know that 99% of that junk you hear on television is not true. It's not true. It's not true. It's never going to be true. That lifestyle is never going to turn out right. But what we are telling you is that you get in the Word of God and believe it and trust it and trust the God that wrote it and put your faith in Him, it's going to turn out right and it's going to turn out good. Even if it turns out bad. That's something that the society, listen, faith in God will teach you that life can turn out right even if it turns out bad. The world can never understand. If it's bad, we got to avoid it at all costs. If it's negative, we got to avoid it at all costs. That's not true. That's not true. It's just not true. The most positive preacher in the Bible is still pretty rough. Old John. I think it's John, by the way. John, such a wonderful guy. Such a sweet preacher. He is. And he says, you don't love the guy sitting next to you. You're telling me you love God? Yeah. I think he said you're an idiot, but I don't have time to... I don't have time to turn over there and look it up right now. I believe it's in. Is it in there? Brother Ken will tell me after church whether it is or not. Amen. You can't have faith without information. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. This book, you know, it amazes me, and I'm done with this. It amazes me how the world will go out and buy a deck of cards. I'm going to shuffle these cards up. It's going to tell you your future. People will pay you to do that. Go get a Milton Bradley board game. It's cardboard. It's cardboard. And a piece of plastic. Oh, what am I going to have for supper tomorrow? And it spells out, you're an idiot. People invest in that stuff. They believe it. They make YouTube videos about it. You take a book that's been around, never been disproven, and the things that the book says are going to come to pass, coming to pass right before your eyes. Well, that's just mean. That's mean-spirited. That's just unfair. Imagine somebody using a Ouija board telling you your Bible is fairy tale stuff. It's made by Milton Bradley. Milton Bradley. It's a game. This is not a game. This is not a game. Ask Goliath if it's a game. It's not a game. Amen? You can trust this book. Little boys or old men. Young girls or old ladies. Of course, you're not supposed to say old ladies, but you can trust this book. And God will walk with you. He'll direct you. I've seen God literally, actually, guide my steps on a daily basis when I put my faith in His Word. When I begin to walk my own way, He'll watch me stumble. He'll watch me fall around a little bit, flounder around as we do from time to time. But when we read His Word and when we believe what He tells us, I mean, He's there every step of the way anyway, but boy, how does He manifest Himself? When we put our faith in Him. Lord, we thank You tonight for Your goodness and Your grace. Help us tonight. Lead us. We'll thank You and praise You for all that You do. In Jesus' name we pray, preacher.